World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
We like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, you would think that this show would be somewhat burdensome, wouldn't you? To think, you know, I get up in the morning and I think, golly, there's thousands of people out there going to be watching and I've got to come up with some stuff to talk about. You think it'd be a burden? Then it really isn't. My life is never, I can't even explain. I used to be one of those guys who stayed up right in front of Fox News. I watched O'Reilly at 8, Hannity at 9, 10 o'clock, because I don't know who was on at 10 o'clock. Every night I'd watch it and I'd go to bed at 11 and I'd get up the next morning and do whatever I do. And then somewhere along the line, I came to the reality that none of them ever called a play. I made people mad because I kind of criticized Rush Limbaugh because Rush Limbaugh had an audience of what, 7 million, maybe even bigger than that. Unbelievably huge audience. And I don't know if you ever noticed it. Rush never organized the people to do anything. Now, he did at one point have those, what did he call them? Not yard sales, but whatever. He went through a spell there where he did Rush Limbaugh yard sales or whatever. But he would come in on the morning or at noon. He'd come on at noon, and he would spend the whole day telling you. He was giving you a color commentary on what was going on. He might as well have been sitting on top of a stadium with his headphones on, giving you a play-by-play of what was going on. Bake sale. Thank you, Roger. Bake sale. But other than that, when it was over, nothing ever changed other than you knew what Rush thought about it. Said, we're in good shape because Rush is on the job. Rush is in control. Those Republicans are coming, man. Republicans good, Democrats bad. I sat under that for 10 years, maybe 10 years. And probably when I started my show, which I talked about yesterday, my heart was immediately bent towards, okay, I get it, Rush. Now what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And that's what I think is the magic of this. And I look at the names who have stacked up over here on the queue. And I could go down there and I could pull up just about every one of you are doing something, at least doing something more than you used to do. Even if it's just, you're finally standing up and pushing back against your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your pastor. Finally, you're standing up speaking the truth to power. That's a start, isn't it? That is a start. So I always wanted to be Rush Limbaugh because I said, man, I'll have 1,000 people out here. I'll have 10,000 people out here. Mitch McConnell's going to pull that crap. We're going to put 30,000 people outside his house. Do you think Rush could have been successful if he'd have done that? You know why he didn't do it? Because as soon as he started doing that, they'd have pulled him off the air. They would not have let him do it. Because ultimately, friends, and I fight this, ultimately is there are those out there who are all for you telling the truth till it comes to what they're doing. And then they don't want it. So I can say this. Nobody owns Coach Dave. Nobody does. Praise the Lord owns me. Praise the Lord. But there ain't nobody out there putting money in my pocket getting me to say this or don't say that. Ain't none of it. When you come here, you get the truth the way I see it, unadulterated, and you are open to tell me whatever you think. And until we get to that position in the United States of America, how do we ever come to the point where there are just two sides? Just two sides of an issue. If you're a Republican, you got to believe this. And if you're a Democrat, you got to believe that. Because why? Because that's the best way to be able to control people. They've done it to us on purpose. Yin and yang. yin and yang, pushing back against each other, fighting each other, never coming together and realize that the problem isn't yin and yang. It's those who are pulling the levers, those who are controlling us, those who are allowing us to have free speech, not allowing us to have free speech. Those who are going to a church and the pastor won't let you say that, or he will let you say that. Control, control, control. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the little girl that, you know, not the little girl, that's not right. The girl that I was talking to the other day about the podcast, I said, listen, a lot of people hate me. A lot of people, look, folks, if you're out there trying to get people to to love you, they'll never love you if you just lie to them. You just go along, get along, and don't say anything. Yeah, they'll probably love you. They don't really love you, though. They don't really love you. You have to, somebody really loves you, somebody tells you the truth. And that's what I try to do here every day, and I'm happy to be here. By the way, good for all of us to know, right? Two things. Number one, more arrests. What? Oh, yeah, number one, pull that up right here in Columbus. Dare I say it? Am I allowed to say it? Friends of Judah, who lives here in Columbus, right? This is two from Columbus area, one from Michigan, charged in connection with a U.S. Capitol riot. Hey, friends, was that a riot? Do you see the language? You see what they're doing? So everybody out there who is a Christian looks at these guys, rioters. And so they've already painted a picture. That's why we're still in the mess that we're in on J6, this far away from it. Judd, I don't know Judd, if he's listening. Judd's always listening. No Judd's out there. But Judd, this is just some good old boys. How long ago was January 6th? How many years ago was that? Friends, do you know? Can somebody help me? January 6th, 2021. That'd be 3 years. 3 years later, they're still running down these guys, calling them insurrectionists. 3 years later. Now, I don't know these guys. You know, Judd was with a group there. Hey, Spencer, can you make that a little bit bigger? Do you look? It says view all photos. View all photos. You see that? See how they got these guys? They got a picture of them. Going, scrolling down, everybody. They got a picture of them in the Capitol. Look at that. So the FBI has gone through a bunch of video to try to find those guys. There they are. There they are, right? Now, I'm going to say this again because I wrote about it today. Those doors were open, and anybody there was welcome to come in. I was there. I could have gone in. The door was open. There was a guard standing there, and people were just walking in like you were going to the mall, just walking in. Cop wasn't saying, stop. Could have gone in. So these guys went in there. They weren't in there very long. They walked through like many other people did. You know, a lot of people went there, had never been to the Capitol, never been into the Capitol. So they come all the way from wherever it would have been. They've never been to Washington, D.C. They get up the top of the hill. They're not insurrectionists. They're not overthrowing anything. They're following the crowd. The crowd's going in. They walk in. And for the first time in their life, they get to go in and see the Capitol, see the rotunda, and look around. They'd never seen it. They had no plan of overthrowing anything or anybody. Nope, no plan. We'll talk about the justice system today. Justice system. So those of us, except thank God for the Holy Spirit, there ain't anybody out there who went to Washington, D.C. that can rest at night. I can tell you, they're not done. Evan Hunt, 37, of Columbus. Clayton Hildebrandt, 28, a 28-year-old. Thank God, Clayton, from West Jefferson. And Michael Spot, whatever. I'm sorry, Michael, don't know your name. Spossett, 35, of St. Clair, Michigan. They got him. Finally, they didn't get the guys coming over the border. They're not getting people burning down houses and robbing banks. Oh, no. Oh, they got those J6ers. Those guys walked in the Capitol. You get it, folks? It's unbelievable. Judd, what can you tell us about those guys real quickly?
I would say they are the most trustworthy, most innocent people on planet Earth. These guys, they would give their shirt off their back to help you at school, at church, at any event. Apparently the court is trying to frame them as planners, planners of the riot. Like, not even like, hey, they were there.
Yeah, hey, Joe, Joe, when I went there and all the people I took, I couldn't even find them when we got there. I couldn't even find them, right? I mean, there were so many people. How would you plan anything?
Yeah, exactly. And the other bigger part, and hopefully one day, this is going to come across Betsy DeVos's desk and maybe Mike Pence's desk, but all three of those were Amway IBOs too. So, and they're no longer Amway IBOs because of what they witnessed that day. Which is a very interesting story that may or may not come on the scene sooner or later. But just very interesting that they left out who their coworkers were that turned them in mysteriously 3 years later. Very, very interesting. I may or may not done a video regarding this topic, actually, and may or may not have posted a picture of us there praying. We were there to pray for the country. And really just to help facilitate and be with people that day. And so them trying to cohort and try to make us look like we're terrorists or we tried to be planners or something is absolutely just disgusting.
It but is disgusting. And they're not done.
Absolutely disgusting.
And they're not done. They're not done. All right, folks? They're not done. And you can't tell you what's really sad? These guys are going to be financially broke. I don't know if they're going to put them in jail. I think you said a couple of them already got out. One of them's maybe still in jail. They're going to have to get attorneys. They're going to have to, right, to prove they're innocent. And how much will it cost
hey,
them
Coach,
to prove they're
when
innocent?
When is it a proper practice for the FBI to come raid someone's house? Michael's house, they swatted him with like 12 different vehicles and put duct tape over all of his cameras. So they couldn't see what they were doing. Is that a normal practice for them to be able to do that?
So in other words, this insurrectionist has been walking free for 3 years and hasn't done anything to anybody. And 12 cars have to come up and secretly close off. Are you telling me that's it? Is that dangerous? They had to come and do that. Well, we know that's not true, don't we, Jim? We know it's not true. And wouldn't you know it? Just like always, the coach is on top of it. Pull up number three. By the way, why was she pulling up number three? I wrote today at newswithhughes.com. Folks, we have a prayer request out there. Isaac Yoder. You know our buddy Isaac. Let me stop a second. I was watching a replay yesterday. I look up here a lot. Folks, I have a monitor up here, okay? It's not that I don't look you in the eye. I have a monitor up here. There's a lot going on up here, right? I can see people. I see hands that are up. Most of what I do is up here. So I don't want you to think that I don't look at you, okay? Isaac Yoder has been informed of a possible April home confinement. Isaac Yoder may get out of jail April 1st. So we just ask that all of you would just target your prayers towards Isaac, that he would get out of there. Home confinement, whatever that means. Home is certainly better than a jail cell. And this is the 7th day of March, so we're looking at 24 days, get him out of there. So, Father, we just ask right now, let my people go. Whatever plan the enemy might have to block the release of Isaac Yoder, we ask you, Lord, to come against it in Jesus' name. You break their plans, foil their plans, and release him to his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue to pray for
Amen.
Pray for Isaac. So I wrote this today. And I know, I don't want to pound myself on the chest and tell how brave I am. But you know, this is poking the FBI in the chest. You know this, right? They could pull in. They could pull in here tomorrow. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Already, I've already told you that, right? I didn't do anything wrong. Didn't do anything. Sit there, watched all those people walk in, sat down, watched. You know, they're going to try to say, they would try to say that I planned the insurrection here at Coach Dave Live. And Betty, that means you're part of it. Oh, and John Brockoff, oh, the mad bot. You get it? Guilt by association. Get it, friends? That's what we're talking about. Here's what I wrote today, yesterday. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The Lord loves justice, friends. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. And Noah Webster defined justice as impartiality, equal distribution of right in expressing opinions, fair representation of facts respecting merit or demerit in criticisms, narrations, history, or discourse. It is a duty to do justice to every man, whether friend or foe. You got that? Justice. See, I'll read it. It's not the job of the Justice Department to hunt down criminals and put them behind bars. By the way, the government makes you a criminal, friends. The government makes you a criminal. You're not a criminal. They make you one. The job of the Justice Department is to fairly and without bias give every man what is his due. And as I've often said, when people run for political office, especially prosecutors, they say, elect me and I'll put those criminals behind bars where they belong. That is not their job. Their job is to convict the guilty and release the innocent. Even if they have indicted a man who is innocent, if the prosecuting attorney, Roger, I don't know if you've ever had this happen in court, at some point when some evidence comes out, wouldn't you think the prosecuting attorney would stand up and say, Your Honor, I'm sorry, we did not understand that. Let this man go free. Wouldn't you think that's the job of the prosecutor?
Well, I think it should be. I think the mindset of the prosecutor, which is supported by the detectives and the police, is you are guilty, period. Right. They would say they're just doing their job, but it really, I tend to agree with what you espouse, that their job is not to convict innocent people. It's to convict the guilty people.
Justice, right?
Now, the thing you have to remember, though, in those criminal cases, you know, 95% of the people have done the crime.
Yes, I get that.
But I'm in front of prosecutors periodically, nothing real serious, but, you know, their mindset is just kind of like, well, he's guilty. He's guilty. You know, and it's kind of.
And Roger, help me out here, Roger. Do they thrive on a solid conviction rate? Doesn't that prove that they're doing their job when they get a lot of convictions?
I would say yes. You know, yes, but I would also say, the typical court environment, you know, 90% of the cases settle on or plea bargained out.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
If people ever really wanted to cause problems, everybody would just plead not guilty and say, I want a jury trial to throw the system into chaos.
That's it. Well, yeah. Let me get into this here then, Raj, okay? Because I just understand this, man, huh? So, but there is no equal justice in America today. I want you to stop right there, folks. I want you to think, has the Justice Department spent the last 4 years hunting down those who burnt Seattle to the ground or those who burnt Minnesota? Have they spent all their time running after Antifa and Black Lives Matter and trying to find have they spent all their time doing that? No. By the way, who's the victim? Who's the victim on J6? The government? The government's a victim? How can the government be a victim? But there's no equal justice in America today. Sadly, our just us system is being used to get even with political opponents. Justice has come to mean punishment. It's created a system called lawfare, which is a tactic of warfare. The courts are now being used as weapons of war against those who hold different political views. It's the exact opposite of what the word justice was intended to do. Vinny, give me a boom, would you, Vinny, just so I get some reinforcement, because this is really good. The J6ers are victims of an out-of-control government hell-bent on punishing those who oppose their tyranny. Government, like justice, is supposed to be blind. How does one ever get a fair trial when the just us system is designed simply to punish the guilty? Has it become A.G. Merrick Garland's personal weapon to punish those who blocked his appointment to the United States Supreme Court. You do know that, right? Merrick Garland was nominated to be on the United States Supreme Court. Can you believe that? And the Republicans blocked him. Huh? That guy could be sitting on the United States Supreme Court. And you know what it is? He just got himself a bone to pick, folks. To my knowledge, not one J6er has been found not guilty in any D.C. court. Not one. What are the odds of that? The just us system is working perfectly. You see, lawfare is wicked. Even if found not guilty by a government court, the innocent victim has probably spent his life savings proving his innocence. So simply being charged with a crime on J6 will destroy one's life. Many of the accused have spent nearly 3 years in federal lockup without bail, without a trial, a clear violation of their rights. Many have been forced to plea bargain to avoid harsher punishment. Let me ask you something. Is there anything more demeaning than pleading guilty to something that you didn't do in order to lessen the sentence? Well, that's a conundrum, isn't it? Huh? Well, I didn't do it. Yeah, but man, if you don't plead, you're going to get 30 years if you don't plead. If you plead, you may only get 10. Jeez, what? You mean if I don't plead, I'll be in there till I'm 90? I'll die in jail? And if I plead, I might get out and see my grand. You get it, folks? It's wicked! The government persecutors know that perfectly well. That's why they are still arresting insurrectionists 3 years after the fact. Their goal is punishment, folks, not justice. It's a sad time in America. Just us, baby. Their message is clear. Don't mess with a government. I was there on January 6th, along with at least a million of my friends, who desired nothing more than to exercise our God-given First Amendment right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's why I went. Many of those in attendance that day had never been to D.C., but they knew they had to go because it was only in D.C. that they could personally face their representatives and petition them for a redress. With me? No one went there to overthrow the government. Overthrow the government? What the hell are you talking about? How am I going to overthrow the government? No, they went there because they suspected that the government had already been overthrown. During the November election, they went to petition for a grievance they believed they had suffered. Mr. Webster determined that grievance was that which causes grief or uneasiness, that which burdens, oppresses, or injures, implying a sense of wrong done or a continued injury, and therefore applied only to the effects of human contact, never to provincial evils. The oppressed subject has the right to petition for a redress of grievances. If I think my rights have been violated, I have a God-given right and a constitutional right to petition my federal government for a redress. Petition means to make a request to, or to ask from, to solicit, particularly to make supplication to superior for some right or favor, as to petition the legislature, to petition a court of chancery. Folks, that's right out of the definition of what it means to petition. They put the legislature as an example. Mr. What's his name? Webster did. But an nefarious plan was at work that day. The government, I put that in quotes. Who's the government? The FBI, elected officials. No, we're the government. We the people are the government. But the government had infiltrated the MAGA crowd. They dressed as MAGA supporters. We know they did, folks. We know they did. That alone should get every man out. It's a setup. Every man should be set free. It was a setup. It's entrapment.
Amen.
They gave the appearance of violence to a peaceful crowd. Did you watch the videos? Have you seen the police shooting on peaceful protesters? Shooting those smoke grenades and shooting those rubber bullets. Have you seen that? They were there and the Capitol Police attacked them. Did you know that not one person was charged with a gun violation that day? What? Yeah, not one person. Not one person was charged with a gun violation that day. They called it an armed insurrection. But they failed to tell you that the arms were MAGA flags, Old Glory, and Bibles. That's what they were armed with. The weapons of their warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what they were doing. But you know, hey, you're not even allowed to use that argument. Do you know that? You're not even allowed to use that argument in court. But that's what scared him the most. See, the MAGA flags, the Old Glory, and the Bibles, that's what scared him the most. Because in the den of thieves that thrives on lies, it was the truth that scared them, far greater than bombs and bullets. Some of my friends are in jail. They did nothing wrong. Some just followed the traffic and walked into the Capitol through open doors. By the way, scores and scores and scores and scores of hours of video showing people peaceably walking into the Capitol under the watchful eye of the police. Hang on. Does the Justice Department know that? Well, of course they know that. Of course they do. The police invited them in. Many are still waiting on trial, facing up to 30 years for walking into the Capitol. None have been given bail as they languish in jail simply for exercising their God-given constitutional right to peaceably assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances. See, there's no limit. If 10 people showed up, they wouldn't be scared. When a million show up, oh, now they got the problem, don't they? You see, the government agencies are the real criminals. Why? Because they're obligated to find the truth, not hide it. It's called exculpatory evidence. The law requires that the government present any evidence that shows the innocence of those who have been charged. Our government has hidden this exculpatory evidence from those who have been charged. Because our government has hidden the exculpatory evidence because it is not justice that they seek. You looking at me? But revenge. The Bible teaches Christians who today are being labeled as dangerous by these same government actors that the real war in America is over who will sit on the throne over this nation. A coup's already taken place. And God-fearing Americans simply want Christ reinstated to his rightful position as head of one nation under God. So somebody say amen out there. Isn't that all we want? Amen. We want the king back on. That's all we want. Just put the king back on his throne. That's really what this whole insurrection thing's about. America's a mess. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What hollow words those have become. Revenge, my friends, is not justice. Vengeance, the Bible teaches, belongs to the Lord. Vengeance has no place in the American justice system.
Amen.
The white, heterosexual, Christian male. Let me stop right there. How many black people have been arrested, I wonder? The white, heterosexual, Christian male has become the enemy of the anti-Christian American government. The war is spiritual. It is obvious. BLM, Antifa, and the militant, deviant sexual movement act like a boa constrictor, squeezing the life out of white, Christian Americans. Open your eyes. our government serves the devil. The Republican Party is complicit in the coup.
Amen.
Christianity is under attack. No one has the courage to say it, but I just did.
Amen.
God will not be mocked. Justice is coming. By the way, has anyone seen the American church?
Amen, Coach.
That's it, isn't it? That's what we're dealing with, folks. That's what we're dealing with. And until we understand that it is, you can say whatever you want to, baby. You can say whatever you want to. They hate the white Anglo-Saxon Christian male. They hate him. We don't want to believe it. Because we elect white Republicans, see? And then we make the debate about whites and blacks and racists and blacks. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. They hate white Christian males. Straight Christian males. They hate them. They hate them. It's a spiritual war. Spiritual war. Manifesting in a natural realm. So I want to pull up something else before I open it up, and I'm going to here. I'm thinking about, should I say what I was thinking? No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Pull up number 6 for me. And I want to do something that I don't think we've ever done here before. Pull up number 6. Psalm 119:97. I want to start there. Okay. This is, by the way, that psalm's worth reading. It's, I don't even know how many. It's an Psalm 90. It's, I'm telling you, I was going to take time to read it. Said, no, I can't read that whole thing. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Through your commandments, I'm sorry, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Hey, Brett, are we wiser than our enemies? Are we acting like we're wiser than our enemies? Of course not. Of course not. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than all the experts, because I keep your rules. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for your judgments have taught me. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What is his judgments? Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your words a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Strengthen me, quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Wait a minute. I thought we're not supposed to judge. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. Lord, the wicked have laid a snare for me. Yet I erred not from your precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they, what? The testimonies are rejoicing in my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform the statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts. Oh, the law do I love. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers! for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me, Lord, according to your word, that I might live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Now respect unto the statutes continually. You have trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. That's why I love the testimonies. My flesh trembled for fear of thee. Lord, I'm afraid of your judgments. I've done judgment and justice. Leave me not to my oppressors, but surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with me, your servant, according unto your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am thy servant. Lord, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void the law. Therefore, Lord, I love your commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. For Lord, I long for your commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not the law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright all thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Lord, my zeal has consumed me, because my enemies, they've forgotten your words. And your word is very pure. Therefore, all of us who serve you love it. I'm small and despised, yet do not I forget your laws. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry with my whole heart, hear me, Lord! I'll keep your statutes. I cry to you, save me! I'll keep your testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, and I hoped in your word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are true. Concerning your testimonies, I've known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And Lord, please consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from your testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and I was grieved, because they kept not your word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your love and kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as the one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for my salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word, and let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I have longed for your salvation, Lord, and the law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a sheep, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
Powerful.
Is that something? Is that something?
Amen.
Is that something? When was the last time you heard that one preached?
Never.
Amen. Amen. God's doing something, folks. We're going to see it. We're going to see hand of the Lord move against the wicked. We're going to see it. Come on in, Brett and Gene. You there, Brett? Can't hear you. Gino, come on in.
Yes, sir. I hate to get back to where we were.
Hey, did you call me, Coach?
Yes. Hang on, Gene. Hang on. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay, hey, Coach. Hey, this is Brett Allen Bowl from Dublin, Ohio. I'm a white man. I was there January 6th. Come get me, because I'm easy to find. I'm going to all 50 states, encouraging everybody to read the Bible and watch CoachDaveLive.com every weekday, Monday through Friday. And go read Ezekiel 9.
Amen, baby. Oh, how I love the Lord.
That's what happens to those.
I love the Lord. Amen. 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 Bless you, Brett. Now, Trino, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to go back. You were making a statement how the government is the victim. Well, anyway, God's word, I can't remember where it's found, but in God's word said, the statutes of man makes my word void.
Gino, the government cannot be a victim. They cannot be a victim, folks.
But I had a friend. He got arrested for some reason, and it was crazy. It was kind enough to attend. Well, anyway, he went in and asked the judge who the victim was, and the judge just kept ignoring him. And then finally, he says, "I don't consent. I need to talk to my victim. Who is the victim?" And the judge said, "I'm the victim."
Yeah. Yeah. Society is the victim, right? Society is the victim, right? So in real law, if you go back to biblical law, this whole idea that we have of punishment, I mean, you do get punished in biblical law, but at the heart of biblical law is restitution. You must pay the one who has been hurt. That's the heart of it. Now, being thrown in jail for 20 years for showing up at the Capitol and walking through the building, does the crime fit the punishment? Of course not. Can I ask a question? Where are the Republicans? Where are they? Hey, friends, how many Democrats you think are locked up in Gulag in Washington, D.C.? How many Biden supporters you think are locked up? Not many, huh? So I'm going to camp today on this, continue to make the point that it's the white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant male in particular that the devil has set his sights on. What do you think transgenderism is all about, friends? What do you think all of that mess is all about? See, they got about as far as they could with black and white. Most people don't swallow that thing anymore. So now the discrimination has to be against who? Huh? Now they just make up letters and lump them together. It used to just be homosexuals, but now it's LGs. Or then it was LGBs. And then it was LGBTs. And then it was LGBTQs. And then it was LGBTQs. And on and on and on. Why? Because they have to expand the victim class. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? See, they got real trouble when the black Christians, who supposedly have been so persecuted, turn their persecution on the homosex. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. So now black Christians who were persecuted, and they were, they're not allowed to persecute the homos. Because that's what happened. You said, to me, this is so clear. It is so clear. It's like I've seen this movie before. I've seen this movie before. Here's a problem. See, the average person that you run into doesn't think. Not really, they don't. They're too occupied with everything that's going on. And come on, right? The average guy, the average 20-some guy, he's just worried about going to work, making his payments, going to the bar, picking up chicks, and watching football, and doing it over and over and over again.
That's it.
And because that is their life, the government can do whatever the hell they want to do. And what happens is every once in a while, those people wake up and vote. And they don't have any idea what they're voting for, who they're voting for, or what, other than somebody has probed them to do it. You know why you guys are becoming dangerous? And you know why you are losing friends? Because you're learning to think. And thinking bothers your friends. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Don't tell me. I don't want to hear that. Don't bring that stuff. I don't want to hear that. Why? Because it makes them uncomfortable. Makes them uncomfortable. And so at the end of the commentary, I said, where's the church? Do you understand that 95% probably of those guys in the gulag are Christians? Do you understand that? What would be going on in America today if they were locking up only Jews? Only Jews in those gulags. Or, hey, only blacks. Oh, only homosexuals. Oh, only trannies. Hey, but arrest those white evangelical Christians by the busload, baby. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. But see, not one in 50 people that you're around that even thinks like we think. In fact, they think I'm nuts and you're nuts for listening to me. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, you know, recently I had that meeting with my son a week and a half ago. Hour and a half breakfast. haven't really been around him the last 10, 15 years. Don't know my grandkids, don't know him, none, da, da, da. Now my mom falls the other day. She has that tumor on her brain. It's probably from the jab. She falls. Squad had to come out. She's in bad shape. I mean, she got a big black eye. She couldn't get up off the floor later in an hour. So I went out the last 2 days to check on her. We get in, and first day, she was pretty beat up and banged up and, you know, just not much. I mean, we talked a little bit. Told I'd help her. Whatever she needs, I'll come out. Then last night, I go back out. And then we get in. Now she's feeling a little better. Got a big old shiner, knot on her head, walking with her walker. And the whole conversation ended up about the family, the holidays, my son, all the relatives. You know, she said, I just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
I said, Mom, I can't. When I hear something stupid said, because they got accused of that every time I come to the gatherings, I come in and say, you people are going to hell. I said to my son, I said, I've never once said that. Never. Now all of a sudden, she's like, well, Clyde, he was a good person. He never went around talking about Jesus. All these people in my family say they're Christians. But you cannot mention anything morally or biblically. Nothing. It is, we had a lot. We discussed all of it, though.
Yeah, it's a great failure of the church, man.
Yeah,
great failure of the church.
Yeah. So I went through every scenario and told her my side of the story on what was really said to me. Then she was shocked. She didn't know what to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was good, but she listened. So I got another hour with her last night.
Well, here's the truth, Jeff, because I was talking to Michelle about this yesterday as well. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago when we were showing that really the cultural beliefs of the average Christian? That only about 55% of Christians are pro-life, 100% pro-life. Yep. Only about 55%. Think about that, folks. That half the people you go to church with think abortion is okay. No. They think God thinks abortion is okay. Right? Yeah, Dan, it's social engineering. Over and over and over and over, from the time they hit school, sexual engineering, racial engineering. I mean, just on and on and on to plug into those little things. Government's always right. The government's always honest. You can trust the government. I'm from the government. I'm here. On and on and on and on. So that when a doctor says to you, you need to wear a mask and you need to take a shot. Not only that, you need to take several shots. The government is in support of the doctors. How does that happen? How does that happen? And that those of us who have the ability to think and understand and research and speak to the Holy Spirit say, no, no, not good, not good, not good. How does that happen? How do our pulpits get filled with men who are unashamed or unafraid to compromise on the truth for fear of hurting someone's feelings? How do we get to that point? It's where we are. Where's the church? Isn't that what I said? Where is the American church? Where are the pastors of these men locked up in those gulags? Where are they? Why aren't we out there? Why isn't the whole congregation? If they locked up Pastor Bill Dunphy, the entire congregation ought to camp out there. Where are they? Randy.
There's a combination of factors, Coach. Many, many reasons why, when you say, why is all this, the church, why is it where it's at? But the truth is, Coach, they don't really believe God.
No. They don't really believe God.
Nailed it.
Yep. Yep, right, Dan, looking at the chat here. Weak pastors are compliant to the lying system. See, we're supposed to oppose the world. Do you understand that? We are supposed to be in conflict with the world and in conflict with the world systems, that we are not to be able to live in peace with an ungodly, unchristian world system. We're supposed to be in eternal conflict with it. Do you understand it?
Amen.
The churches don't want to do anything controversial. Anything that would make them stand out other than, can I gag a minute? Hang on a minute. Have you gone on Facebook and watched the commercials for Easter Sunday services? Just scroll down there. It's got to make the Lord puke.
Amen.
I could play some of my own. Oh, come here. We'll have an exciting egg drop and exciting service. Wonderful message. I'm just telling. We are so freaking lost. We're freaking lost. Go ahead, Jeff and Dale.
Just to add one more note. The other night before last one, I was there with my mom. And then she refused the squad ride and everything. And she's in bad shape. So before I left, I sit down on the couch beside her, put my arm around her, and said, I'm going to have prayer for you. You know what she did as I sit and prayed with her for a couple minutes? Probably 5 or 6 times, she laughed. I felt, I couldn't believe it. And she's been in church, says she's a Christian, and she wants to go to heaven to see Clyde. And she's sitting there laughing during that.
Laughing as you're praying for her?
Yes, I swear to God. Yes, she did. I was shocked.
Oh, my goodness. Dale, come on in.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. Same devil, just a different glove on. Let's remember parenthood, right? What was that, Margaret Sanger? They cited up paid pastors to come in there to present their message and to teach their message. And that message is still taught because they use black pastors. And where do we see the highest rate of abortion? Still in the church. Now they've used the church in that Romans chapter 13, and we've got these jab buses inside of church parking lots because they're throwing money at the church, right? Throwing money. Church, Coach, and they've got, it's the same thing. The devil uses these little tactics to get these pastors to use it for their messages, and that's how they water down the gospel. They don't teach it. And of course, that Easter message, that's because personally, those biblical so-called colleges are teaching that garbage to them, because anybody in their right mind would read that message and understand what Ishtar is and Easter bunnies and eggs and all that stupid stuff, Coach. Yep. You want to practice that? Practice that at your house. We don't practice that in the church.
My prophets prophesy lies, and the people love it that way, the scripture says. Julie.
Yeah, what you were saying. Many Christians don't know God's word. We're supposed to hate what God hates, and that's murder.
He doesn't hate anything. Julie, who told you he hated something? God's love. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut her off, right?
No, that's okay. Thanks, Kirk. That's all I want to say.
Okay. All right. Denny.
I just want to say, in 100% agreement to everything you guys are saying, but I'd say also the closer we personally, individually get to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about absolutely transformation. It's like I've gotten a call this week, and now I've got a pastor that I've never even met from another town wants me to come over and pray with him because he's just having a terrible time. And it's not, I've never even met this man. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're really surrendered to the Lord and your flesh is put to death, God, I'm sitting here a cripple, and I'm just, it's just amazing. I'm telling you, even the pastors need help because they have no place to go. So we've got to be not only, we don't have to be the pastor, but we got to be the pastor's encourager. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. Sure it does.
You know, amen. I mean,
we have to encourage them to be men of God, stand up and speak up.
Amen.
Amen. Randy, finish this up here, Randy.
Coach, I believe this, and I believe I can prove it, and I think most of us would agree. We are seeing an exodus out of Babylon, out of the system, of the people of God. We are not, it isn't now, it's not an exodus out of Egypt. It's an exodus into the land. So how many fell in the coming into the land, Coach? God has I'm sorry, but there's just a lot of people that can't go in. Doubt, unbelief, and all the other things will not let you go in. Amen. And that's what we're seeing. They can't go in with their standpoints. Can't do it.
Well said, right? Well said. We don't... We're in a mess, man. We're in a mess. What a time to be alive. So the way I concluded the commentary is, where is the American church? So it is, right? Where is the American church? Well, we're hunting for it. God bless you. See you tomorrow.